Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Browns fans, it's time to gear up for a pain-free 2022 NFL season for your Cleveland Browns with new friends of the show, Buckeye Law Group. If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, a work accident, or even if you've been buried into the ground by Myles Garrett or stiff-armed by Nick Chubb, you need to call Buckeye Law Group today at 1-800-411-PAIN. Their attorneys will fight for the money you deserve. Buckeye Law Group's attorneys have recovered over $1 billion for their clients throughout the entire country. So don't make the mistake of calling just any other attorney. Call attorneys you can trust, and best of all, they're Browns fans just like you. Call our friends from Buckeye Law Group at 1-800-411-PAIN. After 911, call 411. That's 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-7246. That's Buckeye Law Group, located at 1300 East 9th Street, Suite 1210 in Cleveland, Ohio. Buckeye Law Group, proud fans of the Cleveland Browns just like you.
All right, guys, we're on the 3-yard line, 17-17. Let's go, Brownies. Come on, run this in, baby. Run this in. Touchdown! Yeah! Woo! Cleveland! Woo! Let's go. Let's hear the Dogs Podcast, baby.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, John Nye, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. If you want to get your intro on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. Pretty awesome intro by Kenny Mack coming off it's our first Victory Monday in a long time. Ooh. since week one.
Yeah.
First victory Monday, because all our other wins are on
Mondays and Thursdays.
Yeah, you're right.
We got a huge win we're going to get into. Thrilling overtime victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the GOAT, Tom Brady. Before we do, though, I want to remind you to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. If you prefer to just listen to the podcast, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. Lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. The fantasy leagues are getting ready to... We're making our final playoff pushes. Trade deadline coming up. You get an extra episode every week. It's usually a pretty fun episode. You get access to the private Discord. You get access to us pretty much anytime you want to get a hold of one of us, you can do so. So if you're looking for more access to us, you want more dog content, jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member. So before we dive into this episode, I had a couple things I wanted to address. The first thing is I just want to say, ha, 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 Ravens, because they lost to the Jags. And, you know, it just couldn't happen to, like, a nicer, more down-to-earth, humble fan base than the Ravens. You know, they just spend all their waking hours on our comment section worrying about the Browns. Maybe you should worry about the fact that Lamar's completing, like, 50% of his passes against the Jaguars. And then he's clapping back at people on Twitter. That's a Baker Mayfield move.
Big time.
I'm not going to lie. I laughed about it. Oh, it was kind
of
funny.
It was funny. Yeah. A lot of times Baker stuff was funny. Guess what I don't want out of my franchise quarterback? I don't need you going on the internet and clapping back at fans on Twitter. If that was Baker, we would be ripping him, especially after a loss.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be calling him mentally weak and all kinds of stuff. So
childish.
Yep. Sky's falling in Baltimore, and I'm just here to watch. It's wonderful to see. Enjoy Lamar the last six games while you got him. He doesn't want to be there. He hates you guys.
And as we've seen in the past couple of years, when quarterbacks especially and receivers, you know, these guys don't want to be with your team, they're not with your team.
Yep. So he's going to be gone. So enjoy it. It was beautiful to
see.
It's
awesome. I love it.
Couldn't happen to a nicer team, nicer fan base. and then before we get into the episode, next week, Deshaun Watson's first game for the Browns. We're going to do something special for it. Instead of a regular recap episode next week, we are actually going to be live during the Browns game for the entirety of the game. So if that interests you, you want to come watch the game with us. We're just going to be sitting around casually watching the game. We'll have the mics up, giving you our input, what we think about what's going on. You guys can jump in the comment section, tell us what you think's going on. We'll interact with you guys, you know, the whole time. Basically, like you're here watching the game with the dogs. So if that's something cool, make sure to set a reminder. Make sure you have that notification bell on for when we go live. Probably jump on about 15, 20 minutes before game time next Sunday for Deshaun's first game. Possibly 2-game win streak.
Can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Be on the lookout later in the week for our Texans recap, but we just wanted to start letting you know now. So you got all week to prepare. Join us live on YouTube, 1240, 1245 next week for Deshaun's first game.
What does this do for your season? Obviously, you're still clinging to
football. We're not done. That's what it is. We're not done. I don't know who's talking whatever about we're just going to roll over. That shit is dead. We're not done. Thank you.
God, I love that energy.
I think he was referring to the Dogs podcast there because...
hey, I'm on the record saying season wasn't over.
We did talk about that last week.
Yes. I was on the record saying they look like they didn't care anymore.
I was on the record wrong. Saying...
And you guys are both right.
Yeah, I said it wasn't over. I think I said until we lose to the Bucks. Maybe I meant if we lose to the Bucks, but we didn't. In the season, even though unlikely, still very much alive.
Mm-hmm.
And man, just... I'm a big David Njoku fan, first of all, like everything he's been through with the Browns with requesting the trade, having the drops early in his career, and now he almost seems like a leader on the offensive side of the ball. You know, something we've been searching for on this team, and he's a high-energy guy, and that catch.
Oh, my,
bro.
The stadium literally went crazy.
And the stakes couldn't have been. I mean, if he doesn't catch it, the season's over.
Yep.
Yeah.
The fan base, we're talking here tonight about how mad we are at the team. Instead, he goes up one-handed, left-handed, catches it with, what, 30 seconds to go over a stud linebacker for the touchdown to send it to overtime. I mean, the stakes couldn't have been higher. The pressure couldn't have been higher. And he, in one of our main guys, guy who got a big contract in the offseason, comes through. And I think that was for the first time all year, the story of the game. The guys that we've been counting on all stepped up. Mm-hmm. Jacoby made a big throw. And Njoku made a big catch. Amari Cooper was awesome. Made a corner fall down to put us in position to score the game-winning touchdown in overtime. Nick Chubb, big run in overtime.
Don't forget Myles Garrett. Came alive in the fourth.
Yep.
Finally.
We've been clamoring for, in these big spots, Myles Garrett to make an impactful play. He had multiple.
Yes.
Jadeveon Clowney, I thought, played one of his better games of the year.
Yes.
So it's just Emerson.
Are we diving into Martin Emerson quick? Because I'd got to say, he might be the best corner we've got on that field right now.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
When you lock down Mike Evans for two catches and 31 yards.
That's Marshawn Lattimore, right?
When
he locks down Mike Evans.
I saw the stat today. When Martin Emerson was on Mike Evans had zero catches with 0 yards.
Oh, wow.
Zero catch. Goose eggs.
Yeah.
Out of a guy who has never had less than 1,000 yards in a season in his entire pro career.
And they were throwing to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying. And there were a couple times it looked like, oh, he had him beat. It would have taken a perfect pass. You know what I mean? And, like, this is the NFL. Mike Evans is good. If you're going to force Tom Brady where, okay, you can get this completion, but it's going to take a that's good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, he was all over the field.
And Emerson looked like, I mean, he's a rookie. But he looked like the kind of guy out there who wasn't backing down. He wasn't intimidated. He was having fun shutting him down.
He's physical, too.
Yeah.
Not afraid of the moment.
No,
right, exactly.
Not at all.
Exactly. It's not too big for him.
No, man, it was.
I mean, you think about it. You're a rookie. Season on the line. You're going against the Bucks. They just won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. The greatest quarterback of all time is throwing the ball to one of the best receivers in the league. You're guarding him.
And they're picking on you.
The whole game.
Yeah.
And you just shut it down.
You know, Tom Brady said they got a rookie corner on Mike Evans. I'm going at him all game.
And the process is sound. That's good reasoning.
Yep.
But man, Emerson.
It seemed like the first time all year where the Browns had their backs against the wall, and instead of crumbling and pointing fingers, everybody rose to the occasion.
Now, it was ugly. Let's not paint a pretty picture.
But here's the thing is it's the NFL. A win is a win.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm not saying I'm not thrilled. I'm just saying, man, there were multiple moments in that game where it was like, there's no way we're winning this game. Like, we can't move the ball. We're getting sacked.
Which makes the fact that we won it
even more,
all the more impressive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many times in our lives have we watched the Browns and you can, it's midway through the third quarter and something happens and you go, we're not winning this game.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to lose this game in some kind of miraculous fashion.
Yep.
And instead we won it. Is it too late in the season for a turning point? I mean, not mathematically, no. So we'll see. But it just felt like people bought in all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. It did.
What do you think of the game?
Well, if we somehow snag a wild card spot and Njoku's catch becomes that much more ridiculous. I watched the game on my phone at work.
Attaboy.
On break.
Like the dedication.
On break.
Yeah. For 4 hours.
I didn't say I clocked out for those breaks.
Attaboy. Well done.
No, Chris my Tucker, jaw
if you're
dropped.
Watching, just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding. He's not my boss. He's my boss's boss's boss. You know, so no big deal. My jaw dropped when I saw that catch because I, for like a fraction of a second, while that throw was happening, I thought the game was over. I just like assumed the game was over. And he made that one-handed grab. I couldn't believe it because that doesn't happen to the Browns.
No.
I thought he overthrew him. I threw it over his head, and I was like, ah.
Am I the only one here who was like, we still got to make an extra point?
Yes. I was gonna bring that up.
I was nervous in overtime at the end when they're at the three, and the weather was bad. I don't know if you guys
could
tell.
Yeah, I could see it on the broadcast.
It got super nasty at like the end of the fourth and overtime, and we're at like the three, and everybody's like, half the crowd is yelling Nick Chubb. The other half is like, let's just kick it and get out of here. I'm like, please, God, don't kick it.
So I was one of those guys. I was like, I don't want to fumble. The weather's getting bad. I was like, just kick it. It's right in the middle. It's from the 3 yard line. Just kick it. But Nick Chubb, did they throw the flag? They were clearly offsides.
Yeah,
they threw
the
flag.
Okay, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember because I just started freaking out like Kenny Mack did in the intro.
The guy was clear, like you said, offside. You could see it. So when they threw the flag, I knew, like, we're good to go here.
Yeah.
We won. But you're right. When Njoku made that catch, I mean, I scared the crap out of my dog because I was just up and just going crazy. And then, like you said, John, I realized, oh, F, we got to make this extra point. Like, nothing's guaranteed here.
No, I mean, you saw what he did on like a 30-some yard attempt early in the game.
It was so
stupid. That was all him from what I saw. That was just a bad kick.
Yeah.
No excuses.
He's got a little case of the yips right now. It's bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about Cade York just for a second, I've got a voicemail from Devontae. It kind of kicks that off.
Let's just jump into this.
All I got to say is, good way to play complimentary football today, man. The guys really showed out. Man, Cooper showed up when we needed it. Chubb had a hell of a day. Miles and Clowney also had a hell of a day when we needed it in crucial moments. I feel like today was the first time in a long time, probably since the Bengals game, that we played complimentary football in all three phases, man. All I got to say is I hope the coaching staff sees that Kate York is not the guy. That's the only thing I have to say about the Browns today. Like, Kate York has been a pain in the ass all season. But way to find a way to win. Let's go, Browns.
So let's just start with Kate York real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to say he's not the guy yet. It's too early. Cleveland's a tough place to kick. And this was like the best kicker in college football. He didn't just all of a sudden forget how to kick. And we've seen the Browns move off some kickers and then they go other places and they're having very good careers.
And we always take them young.
Yeah. So let's bear with it. And the season's not over. Obviously, we're all excited. We still have a shot, especially with Deshaun coming back. But at the end of the day, also, chances are we're not doing anything this year.
Right.
So let them keep kicking. You know, get the bad ones out, get them a whole off season in, hopefully with a new special teams coordinator, okay? Because a lot of talk is, like, his plant foot's bad right now, and everybody's saying he's slow on his approach. Like, it's taking way too long for him
Is that kind of why some are getting blocked, too, maybe?
Yeah, like, it's almost like the ball's being snapped, and the guy's catching it, and then he's going. And it's like, no, it's supposed to be, like, catch down, kick.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's taking too long. It's like the entire rhythm of the thing. Maybe the special teams coordinator should notice that, but who knows what the hell he's doing.
Well, we've been calling for that job, too, for a while.
You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I'm not bailing on Cade York yet. Now, the leash, I'm giving him this year no matter what. The leash next year is short.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's got this year and this whole offseason, hopefully a new coordinator before I'm ready to bail on him. Because we had Zane Gonzalez, and he's gone on to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And we just bailed on him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Cade York, I mean, his first NFL game, he goes out and punches through a 58-yard field goal for a victory. I mean, Browns don't have a kicker do that very often, if ever.
Yeah.
I believe it was never.
Yeah, and the way Devontae put it, as in Cade York has been a pain in the ass this year, yeah, I agree with that.
It's unfortunate that he's not, you know, performing that well, but I don't think we bail on him after his rookie year.
Yeah. Look how long it took for Andrew Berry to get rid of one of his draft picks.
Right.
He's not bailing on a kicker we took in the fifth or fourth or whatever it was.
And I'm with you. Before we say that Cade York's not the guy, let's get Prefer out of here and see what, like, a decent coach could do with the special teams unit.
Yeah,
like,
now, the kid needs some guidance.
Yeah.
Let's guide him.
I think for once, too, and I'm not putting this on coaching, special teams was so nice yesterday. I don't know if it was just Jerome Ford and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I can't remember where they punted or kicked, and I was like, man, that's bad field position. Like, because if they took so many, especially Peoples-Jones, his vision yesterday, oh, my God. I thought there was at least two where I was like, he's taking it all the way.
If he was, like, more of a traditional punt returner that had, like, the short burst, like, could get to top speed within a couple steps, like Grant, that he would have returned the one.
Yeah.
He had it, and he just got caught because –
He stayed up for a second. We're talking about the same one. He kind of got caught from behind.
Yeah.
He kind of caught his balance and then eventually just got wrapped up.
Yeah. If he's like a short burst explosion kind of guy, or if he's Anthony Schwartz, but we just can't trust Schwartz to do that, which we got to talk about him if nobody brings him up.
Yeah, there's a voicemail about him. So okay. Know when you want to.
So other things, when he talks about complimentary football, Jacoby Brissett, had 210 yards and a touchdown. He did throw the one pick, but I don't really count it. It was at the end of the half.
Those don't count.
Nick Chubb, 26 carries, 116 yards, game-winning touchdown. We get a touchdown out of Anthony Schwartz, a guy who many people have written off, all of us included.
Mm-hmm.
Amari Cooper, 7 catches. David Njoku, 5 catches, including the touchdown catch. David Bell, 4 catches. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 2 catches, and he's playing on special teams returning punts. Harrison Bryant actually looked a little bit athletic when he caught a couple tight end screen pass. Everybody contributed, and this is maybe the most impressive stat. The Browns did not give up 100 yards rushing.
They gave up what? So I saw a crazy stat, or I heard it on the way home. They gave up 63 yards in the first quarter, correct? Or the first drive. And then after that, I want to say they only gave up 76 or something along those lines.
They only had 96 for the game. Two of those were on a Tom Brady quarterback sneak.
Okay. So, and especially when that's been like the biggest Achilles heel of this defense is just we can't stop a nosebleed when it's coming right up the middle.
Yep.
No, like they, White had some nice screen passes. I had him in fantasy. I definitely started him yesterday without a doubt.
Oh, with confidence.
Just thinking, oh, hey, this is going to work out well. But I thought they did well with him because I've seen him play a couple times. He's very athletic. He's very good.
Bro, he had 40 rushing yards on his first two attempts.
Yeah.
He had 2 carries for like 40 yards. I sent a text that said he was averaging 20 yards a carry.
Right.
He only had 64 for the game.
It's crazy the way we were able to collapse in and shut him down the rest of the game because, I mean, when we saw him 2 weeks ago, like we talked about in the preview show in Germany against the Seahawks, I mean, he's faster. He's got more, you know, quick bursts than Fournette because he's the younger running back.
Right.
And it was just like the recipe was there against the Browns, the worst run defense in the league. You thought, this guy's going to gash us all day.
The only person who did anything for them was Godwin.
Yeah.
Godwin.
Godwin was good. He balled out.
Yeah,
yes, he did.
But the way Martin Emerson played allowed us to bring people up to help stop that run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's manned up on Mike Evans, and if Evans is torturing him, then we can't keep doing that. But because of the way he played, we were able to focus on stopping the run. I mean, he had 14 carries for 64 yards. That means he had 40 on his first, so he had 12 carries for 44 yards after the rest of the game.
And to touch on your point, we haven't really talked about him yet, but I was super impressed with JOK yesterday.
Yep.
I felt like he was every time that there was a big play or a big stop, I felt like he was right there. He's involved. that one where he just came up and stuffed. I want to say it was a fourth down run or even a third down run, super close, and he came up and stuffed it. I was super impressed with him yesterday. I don't even know what his stat line is off the top of my head, but
JOK?
Yeah.
He had 8 total tackles, 6 solo, and 1 tackle for a loss.
That's impressive to me. I'm okay with that.
Are you guys willing to say that the defense is like they righted the ship?
That was
absolutely not. Not for me.
Go ahead, guys.
I was going to say, Tampa Bay's offense is awful.
Well, and I remember last week, Justin, you specifically said that the chance that we had was their offensive line was so poor.
Yeah.
That we could bring some pressure, maybe we could create some havoc for Brady, and it helped us stop the run game. Yeah. I think
I don't feel like we brought any pressure though.
Well,
for the most part,
no. But when we needed to get to Brady, we did though.
I literally looked at my wife as soon as it's really unfortunate because I like this kid a lot. Tristan Wirfs went out, and I was like, "Watch out! Here we go."
Yep.
Myles Garrett is coming right now. You have I don't even know who the backup was, but literally next play was that.
That's sack. Yeah.
Shoestring, sack, but I don't know. I was definitely nervous. As far as the defense goes, I thought they played a good game. I was nervous at the beginning, and even there's moments where you get frustrated as you're watching the game, but I think like sometimes we have to take a step back and realize like this is NFL level football. Like they're going to execute well. Did we play a perfect game? No. Did we get turnovers? No. I feel like that's a major missing part of our game, but like
when was the last time we forced one?
I don't remember.
DeAnthony Bell in preseason against the Jaguars.
I mean, I really...
I don't know for sure. Like,
well, didn't we pick off Joe Burrow?
We did. In the first quarter, first drive.
All right, so
for sure.
Maybe the last time we won a game.
Yeah.
I don't know. As far as, like, we're talking about the defense, I mean, that makes 2 good games on this season and 9 not good games. So, at this point, I'm still leaning toward what I've seen is we suck.
Yeah.
You know, so we played 2 good games against 2 bad offensive lines. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, and we talked about this in the preview episode. The Buccaneers, like, can't score 20.
Right.
All the talk around the league is how bad the Broncos offense is, which is rightfully so. It's historically bad. The Buccaneers aren't that much better. I think we predicted an ugly game. I said I didn't know if we were going to be able to run the ball against them. And, I mean, Chubb only averaged 4.5 yards a carry. He got the touchdown late in overtime, it was tough sledding out there. And we honestly, the pass game wasn't – it was an ugly game on offense for both teams.
It was.
I was surprised that they couldn't run the ball better against us. The Buccaneers' offense sucks. Because I'm not one to say that all of a sudden our defense is good. If you can't run the ball on us –
that's more on you than it is us, I think.
100%. If you can't run the ball on the Browns, you got problems.
Our defense did what they needed to do.
Yep.
It did exactly what a defense is supposed to do. So it's not, I don't think we should be like talking about how great it was, really.
Yeah. That's fair.
What impressed me was we tackled.
Yeah.
We didn't bring a crazy amount of pressure. So when he made those short throws, we were there.
Yeah.
And we actually made the tackles. That makes a huge difference.
I will say this. For the first time all year, we always talk about how if a team that's not good at something comes in and does it well against the Browns, the Buccaneers can't run the ball. And they came into this game and they couldn't run the ball on us. I 100% expected them to run for 200.
I did too.
And then when his first 2 carries went for 40, I was like,
yep, there it is.
Freaking here we go again. And then credit to the defense, they righted the ship early, and they had nothing else the rest of the game. So that was encouraging to see. Now, I'm not willing to say that it's fixed, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm trying to look up how many penalties we forced this year.
Oh,
on the year?
Yeah.
Oh my.
So we are minus 7 in the in the turnover game. Okay. So that's not good.
No, yeah, I believe
not
that.
Good at all.
Bad teams, like the good teams, I think are usually like plus 20.
Like, well, Philly.
We're minus 7, and I feel like we don't turn the ball over that much.
No.
Means we really don't.
It's always
force
like
turnovers at all.
Last minute drive, Jacoby at the,
I guess like that one doesn't really count either.
Yeah.
The pick yesterday.
I mean, I feel like there's one here and there, but it's always just kind of fluky, like Nick Chubb fumble,
right. Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Jacoby's not out there throwing three picks in a game or anything stupid like that.
Right.
No, I wish I could find this. It doesn't say how many we have forced, but yeah, not good. If we're minus seven,
cool.
And Jacoby, how many interceptions is Jacoby doesn't have that many interceptions on the year.
Is it five?
Five, I think.
I think it was four going into yesterday, so maybe five now.
So I'm guessing we've probably forced one. And it was probably the Joe Burrow pick.
Yeah, so Jacoby Brissett has
we had one against Baker, too, right?
Oh, I'm sure we did.
That sounds like it probably happened. Correct.
Correct. I believe so, it is.
Jacoby's got six picks, and I know Chubb has a fumble. So that's seven turnovers.
And Jacoby's, I feel like he fumbled a snap maybe at one point.
I think
something like that might have happened
last week.
Last week we did that.
But I bet you the Browns are probably under 10 turnovers for the year.
Offensively, we've done a really good job taking care of the ball.
So for us to be minus seven, we have only
turned bad on the defense.
The defense is not forcing turnovers, and we continue. And you know it's gonna. You're not gonna force Brady into too many mistakes,
right?
But still, it's like, man, if we could start forcing some turnovers. At least you see a lot of these defenses where they might not even be a great defense, but they're opportunistic and they force a lot of turnovers, and it kind of counters what they aren't good at. I think the Saints, the year they won the Super Bowl, they didn't have like an outstanding defense statistically in terms of yards and stuff, but they forced an insane amount of turnovers, and it helps counteract that. We don't have that.
I have these numbers.
Okay.
So my eyes are terrible because I need glasses, but says three interceptions.
We have
three takeaways as far as so defenses came up with three picks.
Okay,
five fumbles
that we've recovered, or we just forced five.
Just says five fumbles. I don't have
no way it's recovered.
No.
So and then we've had seven interceptions
because I know Baker fumbled like two or three times. We didn't get any of them.
Yeah.
And we've fumbled the ball. This is kind of shocking. Eight times.
I wonder if that counts special teams.
Well, I would hope. I mean, I'm thinking so.
If, probably. You
know, but isn't we had seven picks? Oh, because Amari Cooper threw a pick.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. See, like, it's all coming back to us. It's been a hell of a season, guys. Yep.
So it's all coming back.
But bottom line is the Browns have done a pretty good job taking care of the ball this year.
Yeah.
And we're just not forcing any turnovers, which is not great. But no, like going back to the voicemail, like he said, it was good complimentary football. We talked about it even before the voicemail. All our key guys who are making the most money on this team and that we expect the most out of, they all stepped up.
Yeah.
For the first time all year.
So now that we're Deshaun's back and we're expecting to look good, does that just mean Joe Woods is back next year? We win enough games?
You have to talk to Kevin about that.
So here's the thing like with that. So I'm not in the camp like where we're going 6-0. I think it's too hard to win every one of those games, especially with how I've seen these first 11 go or 10 or whatever. And I know the schedule's easy. I know you're gonna pull the schedule up and go, oh, you think we're gonna beat the Saints? We should, but
why we should have beat the Falcons?
We literally said
the Falcons and the Jets.
Yeah. I thought those were automatics too. And so if the defense looks miserable for the rest of the season and we're just in a shootout every game, I think that helps the argument that, hey, we need to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. If the defense turns it around and does the same thing that they have the last 2 years, you're probably right. He's probably back.
Well, here, I don't think he's going to be. It's going to be, I expect the defense to be better down the stretch. We play Houston.
That's good. Okay.
We play Baltimore, whose offense is not great right now. We shut them down the first game. The Saints offense sucks. Then we play the Commanders might be the best offense we face the rest of the year outside of Cincinnati. Okay.
Fair.
So the defense should be better down the stretch. We don't play anybody. We don't. Houston's starting Kyle Allen. The Saints are starting
whoever they're starting these days.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
The Commanders are starting Taylor Heineke.
I know, but remember, and we started with
Pittsburgh's starting Kyle Pickett.
Kenny Pickett. We started with Baker and Trubisky and Mariota and Flacco and all these guys too, and we didn't win those, you know, all those games.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, those were a lot of that was miscommunication. As bad as the defense has been, the issue the last 2 months has not been miscommunication issues. We haven't seen blown coverages since the Jets.
And I would argue that the problem hasn't even been quarterbacks; it's been running backs. And if these teams can run the ball on us, Like, no, we said the Bucs could not, which was great. That helped us. Man, if any of these other teams can run the ball on us, they might give us a game.
No, I'm not saying we're going to steamroll the next six games, but I just think...
I mean, Alvin Kamara against the same. I mean, against this defense,
they don't use him.
But I'm just saying, if they're a smart coach, like we say, Zach Taylor's not, they'll come in and say, "Well, we're going to use him this game." You know, I made the thing, like I said,
if you think Deshaun's worth 3 more points a game, the defense can play as bad as it's played all year, and we would still have a better differential. We would be averaging more points than we give up. I think Deshaun's worth way more than 3 points a game. I was watching some stuff earlier. The read option.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's going to be.
Did you send that play?
Yeah, we're 11 guys crashed down on Chubb.
Yes. I think you were shorting him, saying it was going to be a 20-yard gain, man.
Yeah, this play I'm talking about, I sent it to these guys. First of all, there's 8 in the box.
Right.
Only 1 safety.
You won't get that anymore. That's not happening.
That's done.
And there's 8 in the box. And then Jacoby, we're running out of the shotgun, like a little stretch play to the left. And Jacoby's handing it off. He's clearly not reading. He's not reading the DN, because if he was, he's pulling it, even though he's slow as molasses, because everybody on that defense is just immediately crashing to Nick Chubb. Well, Deshaun will pull that and run for 40.
Yeah, and there's two blockers.
So they won't be crashing. And so if he hands it off to Chubb, now we're gonna get a gain either way we go.
Exactly.
Most likely.
RPOs, read options, and then all these times where Deshaun's dropped back and he can't find anybody, and then he goes to scramble and gets caught from behind by a D-tackle, that's not happening anymore either.
I think you're referring to Jacoby Brissett, but yeah. I knew where you were heading with that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just like, what did I say?
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun, okay, yeah. So the offense, I think he's going to score way more than 3 points per game, higher than what we're averaging now. Okay, so
yeah.
the special teams and the defense can continue to suck, and I still think we have a fighting chance in all these games. Is it likely to go 6-0? No, but I don't think it's out of the question at all.
I think at this point in the season, so call me crazy, why not? I mean, it looks like the team's bought in. I don't know if you guys follow them on all their stories yesterday. John Johnson, we're not done. Who was it? Emerson saying the same thing. Njoku's interview.
Yeah.
I think there is some legitimate life all of a sudden, which I don't know if it's annoying that it took all this. Yeah.
But is it too late? Well, I guess we'll find out.
Right.
But because we got this win, we've set ourselves up to potentially at least be playing meaningful, important, fun to watch football going down the stretch.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that game 17, week 18 game might really mean something.
Yes, and if maybe we don't win out, say we go 5-1, and we get to 9 wins, I think if you would have asked any Browns fan at the beginning of the year, if we told you Deshaun's going to miss 11 games, but we're still going to win 9, you would say, oh, that's a good year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, considering we've been dog shit for my entire life, yes. I would say 9 wins. Yeah, 9 wins. I'll take 9 wins.
9 wins, and then we have Deshaun next year for the whole year.
And then if they also said, you're not going to beat the Jets or the Falcons at the beginning of the season.
God, I'd have been like, oh, boy.
Oh, how we got nine?
Where did we get those nine at?
All right.
Yep.
All right.
So yeah. I think it clicked with the players, too. They're like, oh, holy shit.
Like, he's here.
This is still doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we'll see.
I wish they would have felt like that at the Miami game.
Like week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5.
I don't know. Just when I looked at them last week was kind of rough, but like the Miami game, I looked at that team and I just went, this is over. This team is folded.
It sure looked like it. Listen up, Browns fans. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is my go-to when betting on the NFL this holiday season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same-game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, player props, point totals, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost, the bigger your shot to win big. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code TPPN. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TPPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Happy holidays, everyone. Browns fans, time to talk holidays. Christmas is right around the corner, and what are you going to get for that special person in your life? I'll tell you what I've been doing for the last couple years. I've been getting my dad, grandpa, father-in-law, uncles. Everybody gets a nice big package of Omaha steaks. Like me, you can achieve gifting greatness when you give the gift of perfectly aged, tender, and delicious Omaha steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have put together special curated gift packages to help take the guesswork out of gifting and make you the holiday hero. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, at checkout and get $30 off your order. Send an assortment of mouthwatering favorites guaranteed to impress, like the legendary Butcher's Cut Filet Mignon, air-chilled boneless chicken, ultra-juicy burgers, and even easy-to-prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early, beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, at checkout. I'm telling you guys, personal experience, Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite, and a gift that, you know, maybe you get to partake in too whenever your dad or grandpa or whoever fires up that grill and says, hey, how about we throw on some of these Omaha Steaks you got me for Christmas? Sounds like a win-win to me. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com, use promo code DOGS at checkout, get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. I got a voicemail from Phil here, and he's kind of got something to say too about Joe Woods.
Hey guys, it's Phil. Wow, a freaking Thanksgiving miracle. That was a heck of a catch by Njoku there to tie it up with very little time left, and they actually showed up on defense and actually stopped Tom Brady and actually went down and won the game. I was saying, I think in the Discord, I'm like, I don't want this to come down to a field goal. I just want them to score a touchdown, and they got it done. I don't know. I'm almost worried. I think someone also mentioned this in the Discord. The defense starts playing better. They're going to keep damn Joe Woods, and I don't care how we finish the season. He needs to go, and so does Prefer, because we had another damn field goal blocked. There's still plenty of stuff that needs fixed. But a season like this, you take the wins and you can, man. And after the Buckeyes shellacking, it was nice to be on the winning side for once. So let me know what you guys think about the whole Joe Woods thing. I still think he needs to get fired. And go Brownies. Finally got a W.
I feel like we're talking to Phil like every week.
Hey, yeah, Phil, don't be so. You just won Dog Pack Member of the Month, Phil. Don't be so down. We just got a dub. No, but for real, Phil's in the Dog Pack, who just was Dog Pack Member of the Month. We're about to send him this sweet poster behind me, autographed by all the dogs.
That's right.
It's going to be worth about how much?
It's about 15 cents for the poster. Then yep. You got to think about depreciation. It's going to be worth about eight cents.
Correct. It probably is going to be worth, and if you buy a frame for it, well, then you're just out money.
It definitely went down in value now that we all defaced it.
Correct.
Yes. So, but no, thanks for the call. Again, we just talked about it. The defense, I just think it's too little too late for Joe Woods.
I think the fan base is ready to move on is Barry and Kevin.
I think if we start winning games with Deshaun, he's back.
I don't think so.
I would love for that to be right.
Everybody start writing your letters now.
Dear Cleveland Browns. So
a few weeks ago, we were talking about the system Joe Woods wishes he could run. I think you compared it to the 49ers.
In the Bills.
Okay. So my biggest problem with Joe Woods is that he doesn't adjust to the talent that he has. What happens if we go get some playmaker that makes Joe Woods' system possible? Is Joe Woods then able to be a good defensive coordinator?
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't think that person exists, first of all. And you have to think about we're not going to be able to go out and buy a bunch of talent this offseason.
We have talent. That's the thing. We've got so much talent. Correct. On this defense. It should be just a shutdown defense. Yeah, weak interior, I get it. But
we need two defensive tackles who aren't the worst in football. Okay, and we need better linebacker play.
But if you give any defensive coordinator Clowney and Garrett and Ward and Newsom and Emerson and JJ3 and JOK and all these guys that we talk about all the time, Delpit,
they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. Exactly. They'll make it work.
I guarantee you they won't be as abysmal as we are.
Right. He won't be 31st in the league.
And this is the argument I use a lot, and I use it for Baker. If Joe Woods were to be fired today, would anybody hire him to be a defensive coordinator?
No, maybe the 32nd ranked team.
I don't think he would ever. I think if he got fired today, chances are he would never be a defensive coordinator again unless he goes back to being a positional coach on a team somewhere.
I see that.
And works his way back up. And I'm talking like years down the road, he gets a second chance at being defensive coordinator. But that's telling. If nobody else wants him, there's a what I mean? And Kurt Warner said it 2 months ago. The Browns' defense is just too vanilla. It doesn't matter. I don't care if we come out and shut teams down. At the end of the day, we're shutting them down because they suck, not because we're good. We shut the Bucs down because the Bucs' offense is abysmal, not because all of a sudden the Browns' defense is good. Mm-hmm. The Bucs' offense, we talked about in the preview, they've only scored over 20 points, I think, twice, two or three times, and they were all in losses. All their wins, I'm pretty sure, were 21 points or under.
Yeah, they've not scored a lot of points.
No, they're one of the worst offenses. And tell me, like, what is the Buccaneers good at? It's not throwing the ball. Tom Brady gets rid of the ball quick, but it's not like he's lighting the world on fire passing. They don't run the ball well.
I think they're like a shell of the team that they were 2 years ago.
Yeah, they're just kind of hanging on to that.
2 years ago, you had, I mean, and those guys are still there. They still have Mike Evans. They still have Godwin.
No Gronk. Todd Bowles is not that good of a coach, right. I don't think.
I think Gronk was a huge safety valve for Brady. I think he misses him a lot. We talked about it.
Their offensive line, I think it's pretty much all backups.
They're depleted.
That'll do it for you. But here's Brown Tiger, and he's going to bring up a name that we talked about earlier, and we need to talk about again.
Hey, guys, it's Brown Tiger. Whoever would have thought Schwartz of all people would have caught the first touchdown. He's been in a doghouse all year. Whoever would have thought Schwartz would have been the first grab for the touchdown and threw that reverse that a lot of us would not have agreed with, but it worked. And Brissett was blocking for Schwartz. I guess it's true what they say in that one movie. May the Schwartz be with you. That's all I got to say, guys. Go Browns.
That's very good. No, Schwartz, we got to give him his flowers because for the first time in his NFL career, I thought he looked fast.
Because we've knocked him down a lot.
I thought he looked fast for the first time. And like Brown Tiger said, a lot of people would have disagreed with that call if it wouldn't have went well. You know why we have to run the reverse? Because Jacoby's slow. That's the only way to take advantage of the backside defense being overly aggressive to Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt in the run game, because we can't use Jacoby to exploit that. Now, with Deshaun coming back, we won't have to run a reverse. We'll just run a read option. And if you crash down hard now Deshaun will carry it for 40, 50 yards. I thought Schwartz, well, one, he made a cut, which I didn't know he had the ability to do.
He also did something else. He caught it.
What, the pitch?
No, he had a 17-yard catch or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he did have one catch.
A big catch. My mom looked at me in the fourth quarter, and she's like, he's having a great game. And I was like, he's had two touches, and they both were good. So considering that he usually has, like, no targets, or if he does get a target, he drops it, yes, this is fantastic.
He's usually not even on the field. Yeah. He's having a great game.
I mean, good for him, though, because like, we've been very, very critical, and I'm sure that doesn't go good for, you know, your mental space and stuff. He's probably was pretty down the dump. So good for him. His teammates rallied around him. He had a nice game.
He needed it. He definitely needed it.
Sure, I'm not ready to say that.
The woes are over, and he's ready to
be a neutral part
say,
of his offense.
Hopefully, but we're back at the jug machine. Hopefully, we've been doing that. But, no, I mean, the reverse was nice.
That's the way Anthony Schwartz is used. And we've tried.
Yeah,
but I just felt like this. Like I said, this is, and I was joking a little bit, but for the first time, he had the ball and looked fast. How many times have we tried end of rounds and he gets tripped up by a D end?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for the first time, he looked athletic and fast, and he made a cut, and that was good to see. Maybe he can build on that. And I'm not saying Anthony Schwartz needs to be an intricate part of the team or offense, but man, if we can get him the ball 2 to 4 times in a game on plays like this, and he can get chunk yards, that opens up a ton.
Yeah, it does.
For the offense.
On a team lacking receiving depth.
Yes.
Helps.
The offense is going to get more explosive, but this is the end. All teams get trick. Like, there's trickeration in their offense. Browns fans seem to think like Stefanski's the only run who ever runs a gadget play or a trick play. They all do it because guess what? Turns out in the red zone, it's hard to score. This is NFL defenses. They're all very good. Even the Browns have a terrible defense, but if we can ever keep people from hitting a huge play and we shrink the field into the red zone, we hold them to field goals all the time.
Yep.
So if people can't score on the Browns defense, how are we going to score on Bills, Dolphins, all these elite defenses? Well, you're going to have to use some trickeration sometimes.
Yep.
It's not it's not like college. You know, Ohio State just always has the better players.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
you can just out-athlete people.
Yes. That's not the way it works in the NFL.
Except for Saturday. That was I guess we had the better players, but I don't think we had the better coach that day.
Nope. I don't think we're going to talk about that.
Nah, let's just not.
I think we're going to move forward.
Still bitter. Yes. Anyway, we'll just hear from our good buddy Kenny Mack.
Dogs, it's Kenny Mack, and I'm pumped. First quarter, awesome. Then a missed field goal. Yikes. Amari Cooper drop. We're doomed. But a miracle one-handed Njoku catch. We're tied. And then what happens? Worf gets injured and Miles feast. You made your money, man. You got a sack. Chubb, it was Chubb, and JB deserved this win. So what do we do now? Run the table. Go, Browns.
What did you guys think when Amari Cooper dropped that wide open in his hand?
I texted the group. I just said, because I think I was a little bit ahead because nobody was really – I just said, man, that hurts. Because it was wide open. He's very reliable and doesn't drop the ball.
So you were at the game and you just said, I think I was a little bit ahead.
Yeah, true. As far as like, usually I'm watching on, if it's an away game, I'm watching on Hulu and I literally put my phone to the side because I'm like,
oh yeah.
But yeah, I was ahead.
You certainly were.
I don't like being behind because I'll get a text that's just like a four letter word and I'm like, crap, this play. Yep, there it is.
Yeah. I'm like, why'd we do that? And I'm like, oh, damn.
The drop came at a really bad time, and somehow we made up for it. And he made up for it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what you want to see. You want to see your big-time players come back from mistakes and just make the other team feel it.
And going right back to him
on
the next drive, that was smart.
You know,
because you know he's not going to drop. I mean, he's not known for that. You know,
right. He's coming back with a vengeance, too.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. When it was like, 3 minutes ago and they ran it like on a 3rd and 22, I was like, well, okay. I really wanted to look at my wife and be like, maybe we should get out of here. But then I was like, we got 3 timeouts. Hold on. Let's just sit in traffic for an hour and thank God. Thank God we did.
I heard some people, I saw before we won, people were complaining about that run in overtime. What did you guys think?
Which one are you talking about?
So when we were backed up in our own territory and it was like 3rd and 20 and we just ran the ball with Hunt and then punted. What'd you guys think?
What was the weather like?
It was pretty shitty.
I think it was okay.
Yeah.
It was
pretty nasty.
But do you risk an interception there?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then we punted and they blocked in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God, because I was like, oh man, they're going to get great field position. And it was a good punt to begin with.
Yeah. And then they knocked them back.
They backed them up even to catch the punt.
Yeah. And then what ended up happening is they were so far back in their territory, they punted to us. We started the ball to 45.
So it ended up working. But I was nervous because I'm like, crap, they're going to get good position. It's only going to take a couple nice passes here to Godwin. Field goal done, out.
You're more than likely not going to pick up 3rd and 22. I don't care what play you run.
Right. You got to play for the punt. Give your punter some space.
Yep. So you're not punting with your heel standing on the back line of the end zone.
That's the kind of play I hated when I was like 8.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing is, sitting there, I still am like, maybe I'm messing up where, are we talking about the Kareem Hunt one?
Yes.
I thought that was in the fourth quarter. With like three minutes ago.
I thought that was overtime.
That was overtime.
It was like 3 minutes ago.
It was the fourth quarter because then we got the ball to 45. When the first play was a Chubb 20-some yard run.
Yep. And at that point, it wasn't that bad. Like when overtime started, it got super crappy. But like I just was like, ugh. Like I felt like we were just, I understand the point of it, but I'm just like, we have nothing to lose.
Well, you do. The season's on the line.
It was on the line last week, bro, and on the line last week.
But I see at that point because you're still down.
Yeah.
You're not tied. Correct.
But, I mean, with 3 timeouts, it was crazy how it played out because usually that's something where they run the ball 3 times and it's first down and see you later.
You drop back to throw there. One, you risk a pick.
Or a sack.
Or a sack. Or safety. You had plenty of time and a two-minute warning and timeouts. It was the right, like John said, that's the kind of play you get mad at when you're 10.
Right, but our defense had been doing well, been holding them, so.
Yes. Complimentary football.
I was going to read
this. Look, our first caller said.
Read this stat that I sent to you guys I saw online yesterday. It said Tom Brady was 218-0 when he's up 7-plus points in the last 2 minutes of regulation until
Sunday.
It's the first time in my life.
He is now 218-1.
Oh, that really tarnishes his legacy.
Yeah. He's definitely second ballot now. He's going to have to wait until the sixth year on that eligibility.
I have a more interesting stat for you guys.
Oh, do tell.
The Browns are now 2-0 this season when Anthony Schwartz has a rushing attempt.
I would just give him the ball first play every game. Let's go.
Because, I mean, if you ask Nick Chubb people, if you just gave Nick Chubb the ball the first 20 plays of the game, we would guarantee you to win.
That's true.
So just come out, give Anthony Schwartz the ball on the first play. Mail it in.
We're now, what, 1-4 in games where we score on a first drive?
No, I think 1-5, I think.
1-5?
I believe so.
Well, it's nice to break that streak.
Yep, we were 0-5 this year.
But again, it was like we went straight down and scored on that first drive, and I was sitting there and I said, all right, probably not going to score again until the fourth quarter. Well, freaking didn't score again until the fourth quarter except for that field goal.
They were showing stats during the game, like some of these games where we score on our opening drive, and then it's 48 minutes until we score another
Yesterday
touchdown.
Yesterday was like
52 minutes until – it's like, can we not do that?
Yeah.
Can we keep a little bit of consistency? We are the best opening drive team in the league.
Yes, yep.
It's unbelievable. It's like all of the week's preparation goes into those first 8 plays, and then after that, it's like, what do we do?
Can we do the first 20 then? Yeah. If we're real good on like the first 12 plays, can we have some backup plays after that?
Or just roll it back, it again?
Put together like two solid drives, and then, you know.
Yeah, maybe like go 1-8. Yep. And then the next time we have the ball, like do the evens then the odds.
Yes. Yeah, right. 8-1.
Let's just mix it up a little bit.
1-8, 2-7.
Let's keep those.
Yeah. All right, so last voicemail here is Trace.
What's up, guys? What a great win. Great team win, especially for Jacoby Brissett. I love the man. He played his heart out this season, and I'm sad to see him go, but it's Deshaun Watson time now. Can't wait to see what he does, but a couple things to talk about. One being Martin Emerson shut stuff down. He played great, especially for a rookie. I was watching the post-game show. People were comparing him to Stephon Gilmore. Njoku, oh my God, most underrated tight end in the league. That snag was nasty. It was nasty. Myles Garrett, one hell of a game. Really helping us out when we needed him to. Taven Bryan, I feel like, is definitely underrated. Got a crap ton of pressure. Whole run defense really, really played well, especially even though it was a second string running back. They played well. Defense all around played well. Stefanski needs to adjust play calling. That's all I can say. Running it when it shouldn't be run. But all around, I think it was a great team win. Can't wait to see what DW4 does. And go Browns. Woo-hoo.
The one thing that did suck yesterday was how many times we took sacks. I felt like the pressure got to Jacoby way more yesterday than normal.
There's no denying the fact that Wyatt Teller, I think, is still not 100%, and the four-string center is not good.
And Wills is awful. He had a couple yesterday.
So every time there's a flag for holding, I'm like, 71, here it is.
He graded like 87 in pass pro yesterday.
Hmm.
His pass pro isn't the issue. I mean, he's actually above average at pass pro. He's terrible at run blocking, and his penalties are always the most untimely penalties.
Yes, they kill
ever.
You.
He's why we had to do that run on 3rd and 20.
Yeah.
Because he killed us with the holding, and it was such a blatant holding. Now, that same holding happens to Miles every play, and they never call it.
They face masked him. I don't know what quarter it was. They showed it on the big screen, and literally the dude had him by his face mask, and it was just...
Then they picked it up, didn't they?
I don't even think on that play they even threw a flag.
Are you talking about face masking Miles?
Yes. I mean, that's like...
It was the face mask on Chubb I thought they picked up.
Yeah. And he had his face mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's and you know, I think at times Jacoby can hold the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
He holds the ball, sure. and then he's not quite athletic enough to evade the pressure. Again, that'll help with Deshaun. That'll
change. Yep.
He can move a little better. Jacoby is a not fast person. And it seems like once he gets going, he kind of reminds me of me like 12 years ago. I wasn't fast, but once like, you know, 20 steps into my run, okay.
You're hard to stop.
Yeah, then you're moving pretty good. Time to take a nap. You know, but it took a long time to get up. I'm like a train. You know, it's not 0 to 60. It's, you know, in 4 seconds, it's 0 to 60 in like a mile and a half for a train.
But then it's hard to run a mile.
But yeah. Yep. You know what I mean? So Jacoby just, it's like it takes him 10 yards to be at full speed while by that time, everybody caught him.
Yeah.
So the Deshaun's ability to escape pressure will help with the banged up offensive line, 100%.
Do you guys remember who I picked as my rookie breakout star?
Martin Emerson.
And everybody made fun of me.
I did.
Everybody said, wow. I remember I said, I think he's going to compete with these guys and possibly go for starting. Like, he might push some guys out of some starting positions. And the comment section on YouTube was just, idiot. What are you talking about? He's not that good. And when he was in college, he was the number one graded
man
corner
in the SEC.
And that's against very, very, very good receivers.
Yeah.
Pro level talent, guys that are playing in the league right now, this year, too.
Yes. The talk coming out of college was that they were playing him out of position.
Correct.
In college. Yeah. They weren't playing him to a strength. Now it sucks for him. He came to a
defense. Come on, Joe Woods. Yeah. Like, keep doing it here. Yeah,
I didn't know he moonlighted as Texas A&M's defensive coordinator.
Yes.
But no, Emerson was he's awesome.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I like that he's got that dog in him.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we talked about it earlier. I'm going up against Mike Evans this week and they're gonna target me 50 times. Doesn't matter, goose eggs.
Yeah. And it's not they're going to target me. It's Tom Brady is going to target me.
The freaking GOAT.
Yes.
You know,
that's a huge spot. I mean, we got to give that kid some credit because that is a huge spot.
And again, just like the Njoku catch, I know that it's not likely for us to go 6-0 and make the playoffs, but that is now possible because we won this game.
Right.
And we won this game because a rookie third round corner shut down one of the best wide receivers in football.
Correct.
So, it's like the moment, the spot, it's like he was, you know, he didn't shy away. Do you think Njoku's underrated?
I don't know. I mean, to say he's the most underrated tight end in the league, I mean, tight end's one of those positions where, what do you consider underrated? I mean, they got multiple responsibilities. You got to be able to block. You got to be able to catch.
I think a lot of people think Njoku is an athletic freak, but I think whenever we gave him his contract, clowning the Browns. They were clowning the Browns hard for giving him that contract.
Right, because he's not a big yardage guy. He's not going to catch 10 passes every game. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm with you.
And so a lot of people were clowning the Browns for that. Well, guess what? The run game when he's not in isn't as good. He has been much better. I mean, last year he showed signs of improvement in the hands and all that, and he did have a drop yesterday, but he's important to the run game. He's extremely important to the run game, and I mean, we saw that Steelers game; they couldn't cover him.
Yeah, we have 9 catches in that game.
9 catches, and he does everything this team asks. So I understand where he's coming from in terms of underrated. I don't think any Browns fans underrate him, but I don't think like smart football people around the league underrate him. But I think, you know, YouTube D-bags.
Yeah.
They're the ones who underrate him because he doesn't have he's not Travis Kelce.
Or Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Well, fantasy guys.
Nobody is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a good football player.
Right.
He might not be a good fantasy football player, which he's not horrible. I have him. But yeah. So I'm not going to, I can see where you're coming from underrated, but I just don't put a lot of stock in YouTube D-bags. So, is that it for voicemails?
That's it, man.
He also touched on Kevin's play calling, too. Jack,
yeah, go ahead, buddy.
I do see where he's coming from. If we're scoring on our first drive and we're not scoring again until the fourth quarter or something.
That's what I was thinking when he said that, yep.
There's something to be said about that, but.
So, I actually saw, I wish I would have screenshotted it. They have these, like, graphs that show all kinds of things. And because people were complaining about Stefanski not being good once he's off the script, in like in terms of yards and yards per play and stuff like that, off script, the Browns are still top of the league. It's just when you get into the red zone and you don't have a playmaker at quarterback, it's hard to score because the defense can key on your one guy. We want to run the ball. We talked about that play I showed you guys. Literally eight of the – we had three wide receivers and a tight end on the field, and they had eight guys in the box.
You may notice every time a coach is referred to as an offensive genius or one of the greatest of all time, they've got their franchise quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, go find me the coach who's considered a great offensive coach whose quarterback sucks.
Right.
Do you think Jimmy or Garoppolo sucks?
I don't think he sucks.
I don't either. But, I mean, that's flirting with it. He has some very suspect games.
And this is going to catch me shit on the internet, but I was talking to Ray, a buddy of ours, who's a big-time Niners fan, and he says the same thing. Kyle Shanahan, without Jimmy Garoppolo...
Not good.
...is bad.
Right. Yeah.
He is awful. He never wins without Jimmy Garoppolo. So how good of a coach is Kyle Shanahan? Mm-hmm. Yep. He needs Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, exactly.
Who has a 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio, has been to a Super Bowl, completes 67% of his passes. Again, he's not elite, but he's far from garbage.
Correct.
Well, people they tend to be critical of their own coach. A lot of Steelers fans don't like Mike Tomlin.
It's crazy to me.
It's absolutely crazy. It's
crazy to me.
But yeah. You're watching every play. If you or a diehard Bulls fan in the 90s, you saw every bad, terrible play Michael Jordan made.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I only saw the highlights. So, you know, that's kind of how it is with coaches around the league. If that's not the team you root for, you're going to see all their awesome come from behind victories and crazy stuff like that. Your own team, though, you watch every single snap, every single week, you're going to see a lot of third and longs where we blow it and things like that. Calls that you don't, you know, you thought were stupid, etc. But Stefanski is, in general, as you know, as a whole, he's a pretty good offensive coach.
Here's the thing that's crazy too: is his whole career in Cleveland. I might be wrong here, but I feel like he's been working off of a limited playbook because he's been limited at quarterback.
He should be coach of the decade for making the playoffs with Baker Mayfield.
Coach of the year.
Coach of the year.
With Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield has now been benched for P.J. Walker and Sam Darnold. And did they start anybody else over Baker this year? I can't remember.
Not yet. They will if they have to.
And Baker Mayfield is more than likely, there's a high probability he will not be in the league next year.
There's that chance.
First of all, told you so. to everybody who was, you know, giving me shit all the time.
They're still out there, bro.
There's a very real possibility he's going to turn into a guy who just hangs out at OU all the time because that's where he's still famous.
Yep, you'll see him one of those broadcast booths before college football games next year.
Yep, because he is going to be out of the league. He is awful. DJ Moore had a good game yesterday
against the best defense in the NFL.
Yes,
with Sam Darnold.
Because Baker is awful. He is garbage. And Kevin Stefanski won 11 games with him and took him to the playoffs.
It's always nice when we can wrap up a victory Monday with a little Baker bashing.
Let's not overlook how easy our schedule was that year. And not only that, but we didn't win the games where we played against good defenses.
Jacoby Brissett is a career journeyman. His entire career, he hasn't been able to lock down a starting spot anywhere, and he is having his best season as a pro, top six in QBR, leading a top 10 scoring and top 10 yards offense.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski is not an issue in calling plays and running an offense. That's not where his shortcomings are. If you think that he doesn't know what he's doing on offense, you're just like not paying attention.
Yeah.
So, my in my earpiece, I'm being told we're going too long.
We're running up against the guys.
Okay.
Well, wrap it up, brother.
We'll go ahead and wrap this up. We appreciate everybody who sent voicemails this week. We cannot wait for next week. Remember, check us out on YouTube. We're going to be going live around a quarter till 22 next week for Deshaun's first game in Houston. The Deshaun Watson era begins. Come watch a game with us. Get yourself some food, some drinks. I'm sure we'll have something laying around here. And just hang out with us, watch a football game. It's going to be a ton of fun. We appreciate everybody who's been checking out the episodes. The season is still alive. And thankfully, we're going to be playing important football going down the stretch. Hopefully, maybe be on a win streak come next week. Be on the lookout for our Houston Texans preview coming out later this week. And if for all the Dog Pack members, we'll see you guys in the After Hours show. To everybody else, hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.